Thank you for tuning in and listening to Mount Carmel Church of God Radio Ministries, where we strive to connect you with relevant biblical teachings for the world we live in today. Now for today's broadcast with Pastor Tim Yoder.
Good morning, everybody. Hallelujah. Are we ready to let it loose in Mount Carmel today? Hallelujah. There's one quick announcement I want to make. We're going to do an offering. It's going to end up going to the Mount Carmel Ministerial Association. I believe we're going to maybe have a basket up here or whatever else we decide. We'll kind of figure out as we're going. But right now, I want to open in prayer. It's so important that we pray. It's not prayer isn't for our benefit, or prayer isn't for God's benefit. It's for our benefit. We have to really hone into that, and I believe our nation needs prayer now more than ever. So let's bow our heads in prayer. First of all, Heavenly Father, I just thank you for those that fought for our nation to afford the freedoms that we have today, Lord. I want to make sure, Lord, that none of us forget that, Lord, because we could be just one generation from losing that. So help us, Lord, to be awake and alert to what's going on in our government realm, in our political realm, in our school realm, in our social realm, in our business realm, in our entertainment realm. Help us to make a difference, Lord. When we see something that's unjust or unrighteous, Lord, help us to make a stand and stand up for what's right and what's truth and what's truthful, Lord. I just thank you, Lord. I thank each and everyone here today, Lord. I pray that you open up our hearts and spirits to everything you have for us to receive, Lord. Fill us with your Holy Spirit, with your Holy Spirit power, Lord, and allow us to receive everything you have, everything you have, everything you want us to receive, Lord, in the powerful, mighty name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. And Lord, I want to lift up Pastor Tim today, Lord. I just pray, Lord, as he releases this message from you, Lord, that our hearts would be ready to receive all of it, Lord. Let it penetrate deep into our soul, deep into our spirit, man. Help it to change us to be the men and women of God that you've called us to be in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen and hallelujah.
All right, stand if you will, and we'll sing some praise to the Lord this morning together. If you didn't get one of those handouts, look to your left or to your right and see if you have a neighbor that's willing to share with you. And we still have some up here if you don't have a willing neighbor. We're going to start with, there is power in the blood. And you know, the scriptures say that because of the power of the blood of Jesus Christ, that we have salvation. And that our sacrifice is that we offer up the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. So let's go ahead and praise the Lord this morning together.
Would you be free from your burden of sin? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Would you our evil a victory win? There's wonderful power in the blood.
Sing it!
There is power, power, one working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. Would you be free from your passion and pride? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Come for a cleansing to Calvary's tide. There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. Would you be whiter, much whiter than snow? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Sin stains are lost in its life-giving flow. There's wonderful power in the blood. There service for Jesus, your King. There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Would you live daily his praises to sing? There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. Of the Lamb, there is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb.
Amen. Hallelujah. Let's sing 10,000 Reasons.
Song again. Whatever may pass and whatever lies before me, let me be singing when the evening comes. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Oh my soul, worship his holy name. Sing like never before, oh my soul, I'll worship your holy name. You're rich in love and you're slow to anger. Your name is great and your heart is kind. For all your goodness, I will keep on singing. 10,000 reasons for my heart to find. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Oh my soul, worship his holy name. Sing like never before, oh my soul, I'll worship your holy name. And on that day when my strength is failing, the end draws near and my time has come, still my soul will sing your praise unending. 10,000 years and then forevermore. Amen. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Oh my soul, worship his holy name. Sing like never before. Oh my soul, I'll worship your holy name. Worship his holy name. Sing like never before, oh my soul, worship your holy name. I will worship your holy name. Yes, I'll worship your holy name.
All right. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's sing, Behold Our God. And if it's a new one to you, you'll catch on. It's one of our favorites.
Who has held the oceans in his hands? Who has numbered every grain of sand? Kings and nations tremble at his voice. All creation rises to rejoice. Behold our God seated on his throne. Come, let us adore him. Behold our King. Nothing can compare. Come, let us adore him. Who has given counsel to the Lord? His words. Who can teach the one who knows all things? Who can fathom all his wondrous deeds? Behold our God seated on his throne. Come, let us adore him. Behold our upon his hand, bearing all the guilt of sinful man. God eternal, humbled to the grave. Jesus Savior, risen now to reign. Behold our God seated on his throne. Come, let us adore him. Behold our King. Nothing can compare. Come, let us adore him. You will reign forever.
On the throne.
You will reign forever.
Behold. praise you. We thank you that we can be certain you are ruling and reigning with justice and mercy and faithfulness and kindness, everything that you are, Lord. We are so grateful that you are good to us and that you hold all things into your hands, and you are the master and ruler of all, and we submit ourselves to you. We love you, and we give you thanks and praise this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Good morning. Let's give it up for Rhett and the band and stuff for just leading us this morning as we get going. I'm excited to be here this morning. I hope you guys are as well. I hope you're as excited as I am. The fact that this isn't just one church or anything like that, that this is our community of believers here in Mount Carroll coming together as the Big C, the church, worshiping and praising our God as one, united. And this is not something that happens in every community. And because of that, we should be thankful and excited that we get to do such things. But before we get too far into this morning, I do want to take a moment and remember what today is. So today and this whole weekend, we are celebrating Memorial Day, especially tomorrow. And before we get too far, I want to do two things this morning. First, I want to do is if you're a veteran who has served in our nation, would you mind standing up? We just want to give you honor and thank you for that time and what you've done. We thank you all for your service. But with it being Memorial Day, I think it is important that we also do this. If you personally have a loved one or a dear friend who has fought for our nation and has paid the ultimate sacrifice, would you mind standing up as well? We mourn with you, but we also thank you for that sacrifice that your loved one made. Before we get into the message, let's take a moment and let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning and we want to thank you for the opportunity we had to join together and to praise and to worship you. Father, we want to thank you for each one of those men and women who are willing to give their life so that we could have the freedoms that we have. Father, as we get into the message this morning, I pray that it is your words that are spoken and not that of my own. And Father, if I say anything that is not of you, may it fall on deaf ears. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, I've heard it said only two defining forces have ever offered to die for you. Jesus Christ for your sins and the American soldier for your freedom. Tomorrow we honor the one who died for our freedoms here in America. But today we're going to honor the one who died for our sins. Have you ever felt like you're not good enough? Have you ever felt like you've failed in life and that no matter what you try, it doesn't seem to work out? You look around and you see all these people who are living what you perceive to be this good life, one that seems to have meaning, and they just seem to be perfect in so many ways. You may have struggled with different things over and over in your life. Maybe you've had a problem with addiction that you just couldn't shake. Maybe you've got an anger issue that everything just seems to set you off, and it puts this wall between you, your friends, and your family. Maybe it's more so that you're concerned on how people look at you because maybe you had a kid outside of wedlock. You went through a divorce, had to file bankruptcy. Maybe you've lived a life so far away from God, always drinking, always partying, that you can't seem to get things in order. But ultimately, you know everything you've been doing keeps falling on your face. You keep trying to get your life together over and over, but it never seems to work. You've thought about God a time or two. You've thought about it, but it just doesn't seem to come through. You've even thought about going to church on a Sunday morning, but you just can't get yourself to walk through those doors. Or maybe you're like an old student of mine who came to me one day and said, "Tim, I really want to be a Christian. I really want to accept Jesus, but the problem is there's all these rules that seem to be in place and I can't seem to remember any of them." She had this idea that Christianity was nothing but a bunch of rules, a bunch of rules and regulations that she had to remember to be able to be saved. Yet that's not what the Bible tells us. It's not about remembering a bunch of rules. It's not about living a perfect life. It's about a relationship with Jesus Christ. That is the entire purpose of Christianity. I had another friend of mine who felt he had to get his life in order before he could become a Christian, before he could be saved. See, for the longest time, he lived a life so far away from God that he wasn't happy about what direction. And he had to get this mess cleaned up before he could ever approach the cross in his mind. He didn't understand that you go to Jesus where you're at right now. You don't wait until a later moment. You go now where you're at, and you allow him to help guide you. You allow him to step foot and protect your life and to put your life back in order. We don't have to get our lives in order before we go to Jesus. Instead, we just go to him where we're at. It's not a process that always happens overnight, but it's a process that God will walk with us through. You know, the Bible tells us in Matthew 11, verse 28, come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. If life keeps beating you up, if you just can't seem to get out of your own way, come to Jesus. He will give you that rest. And no matter what has happened in your past, no matter what mistakes you've made, he's going to give you life. He's going to give you rest, and he's going to give it abundantly. I know we all have a past. I have a past myself. We all have things that we're not proud of that can make us feel like we're never going to achieve what God wants from our lives, that we just can't live up to this perfection. But Romans 3:23 reminds us, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. There's no such thing as a perfect human being. There's no such thing as a perfect Christian that has it all together. Even your pastors, your priests, everything don't have their lives together. We have our struggles. I guarantee you, if you talk to your pastor or if you went up to any pastor, if he's honest with himself, he will tell you that they don't have it together, that they have struggles. They have things that they have to work through and they're still working with God on. We don't have to put all of this together before we approach God. And this morning, the message is going to be found in John chapter 4 for anybody who wants to follow along. And it's often referred to as the woman at the well. It's about a woman who did not have her life together. She had a past. She had a very checkered past, to say the least. She was an outcast of her community. Yet we see a simple encounter with Jesus changed every single thing in her life. And starting in verse 3, it says, he being Jesus, left Judea and went again to Galilee. And he had to travel through Samaria. Now, first, the fact that he traveled through Samaria to get to Galilee was a little strange. You see, the common way to get to Galilee from Judea was to head northwest into Jericho, cross over the River Jordan. That way, no one would have to set foot on Samaritan soil. See, Samaria was like the bad side of town. No one wanted to go there. Samaritans were looked at as dirty people. People that no good Jew, especially a rabbi, as Jesus was often referred to at this time, would set foot in. This was an area for the outcasts. To better understand Samaria, let me fill you in a little bit. After King Solomon in the Old Testament, the north and the south of Israel separated into two separate kingdoms. The northern kingdom led the nation further and further away from God. Then during the prophet Ezekiah and Nehemiah's time, the Samaritan leaders established a worship center in Gerizim. They did this because the religious leaders in Samaria did not want their people going to Jerusalem each year to worship. So even though they were told to worship at the temple in Jerusalem, they picked and chose the scriptures that fit what they wanted to justify building a new temple in that area. This is something I like to call the Burger King theology. It's the idea that we pick and choose our own scriptures to justify our actions. It's trying to have God our way instead of doing what he actually asks of us. We live in a world full of Burger King theology. This is why the Jews did not like the Samaritans. They didn't hold to all the scriptures. Instead, they picked and chose what they wanted. And we can't say much about that ourselves. Throughout Christianity today, we do it constantly. You know, I've heard it said over and over again. Well, that was then, this is now. I've even heard it said that people say, well, Jesus never said that himself, or I didn't find it in the red letters so we can justify our actions, we can justify what we're doing. But that doesn't matter. When we start doing that, picking and choosing out of Scripture what we like and what fits us and what we can utilize in that way, we run into a problem. Because we no longer have a Bible. We no longer have a guide to life. We don't change the Word of God to fit what our wants and needs are. We don't change the Word of God to fit our lifestyle. Instead, we allow the Bible to transform our way of thinking. We allow the Bible to come into us. It's called the living word because it breathes life into us. It guides us. It's not always easy. I fall on my face at times when I'm trying to live up to what the Word of God says. I will openly admit that. But I try. And I try to allow that to transform my life to more reflect Jesus Christ. As we continue in the story in verse 5, it says, so he came to a town in Samaria called Sychar, near the property that Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, worn out from his journey, sat down at the well, and it was around noon at this time. And this is the time, this is the same well that Jacob had given to his favorite son Joseph back in the Old Testament. In fact, you can still visit this very well to this day, and it's about 96 feet deep. It tells us in verse 7 and 8 that the woman in Samaria came to draw water and said, give me a drink, Jesus said, because his disciples had gone into town to buy food. See, there are several things that are very clear here. First, it would have been a hot day. Second, we can tell that this woman was a social outcast in her time. We can tell that she was an outcast of the outcasts. She was a woman going alone to the well. She would have had one of the lowest standings in society to be willing to go to the well at noon, away from the rest. No one wanted to associate with her. Next, in the first century, the women would go to the well in the morning, just so you guys know. They would go in the mornings. They would go in groups. Before the hot sun pressed down, they would get all the water and everything they needed for the day. But because she was the social outcast, she went alone in the right around noon to not be around the others. Yet we have Jesus approaching her and asking her for a drink. A Jewish rabbi not only asking for a drink from a Samaritan, but from a Samaritan woman, from a complete outcast. We have to understand that this is completely unheard of at that time. This was not something a rabbi would have done. The woman even responds in verse 9, how is it that you, a Jew, ask for a drink from me, a Samaritan woman? She asked him, for the Jews do not associate with the Samaritans. The fact that Jesus asked her for water confused her. She could tell that he was a Jew. She could tell that he wasn't like her and the people around her. But here he was engaging her in conversation. See, Jesus said in verses 10 through 15, the conversation continued, if you knew the gift of God and who was saying to you, give me a drink, you would ask him, and he would give you living water. Sir, said the woman, you don't even have a bucket, and the well is deep. So where did you get this living water? You aren't greater than our father Jacob, are you? He gave us this well and drank from it himself, and did his sons and livestock. Jesus said, everyone who drinks from this water will get thirsty again. But whoever drinks from the water that I will give him will never again thirst. In fact, the water I will give him will become a well of water springing up in him from eternal life. Verse 15, it says, sir, the woman said to him, give me this water so that I won't get thirsty and have to come here to draw water. See, she was thinking of physical water at that moment. She didn't understand what Jesus was offering. She didn't understand that Jesus wasn't offering an actual physical water, but instead a spiritual one. Often we don't understand this either. When we look at Christianity and we see the book that we call the Bible, we see the church buildings, and we see all the rules and regulations that we perceive that are needed. We don't understand that that's not what Jesus came for each one of us, to put us in a bind and to choke us. Jesus came to set us free. He came to make a way for us to return to the Father in heaven, that we no longer have to live a life that is empty and shallow. chasing after worldly things that never seem to bring us joy. Because no matter what we try to do, no matter what we try to fill our lives with, when it comes to the world, we can never seem to hold on to a joy for a long term. It may bring a moment of joy. It may bring that brief moment, but when you go back home and you shut the doors and you're there alone, you still have this wounds within inside you that you can't seem to shake. But instead, Jesus came so that we could have life and have it abundantly, so that we could have that joy. He came so that we could find peace in our life. Have you ever met someone who seems to be able to go through any bad time in life, but they always seem to have this peace about them? They always seem to have this joy within them that you just can't seem to nail down. You don't see them panic. You don't see them fear. Instead, they seem to be able to walk right through the storm. I bet you if you ask that person, or if you know that person well enough, you know that they have a relationship with Jesus, that they have that. They have that calm because he brings us that calm. And we can be set free from our past mistakes. That could set us free from our addictions, our pitfalls. It could set us free from the chains that this world seems to be using to hold back that the joy of God has for each of us. She continues in verse 16 to 18. It says, "Go call your husband," he told her, "and come back here." "I don't have a husband," she answered. He said, "You have answered correctly that I don't have a husband. For you have had five husbands, and the man you now have is not your husband. What you have said is true." Earlier, we spoke a little bit about how she is a cultural outcast of her community. Here was a woman living outside the boundaries of any religious or cultural standard of her day. She had gone through five husbands in life already. She was living with a new guy that was not her husband at that time as well. Going through marriage and divorce is not an uncommon thing inside of our society. But even us, when we hear somebody has been married to five different people, men or women, we get a little side-eye glances at times, don't we? But in first century Samaria, first century all of that, this was unthinkable. The idea that somebody's been married five times was not something that would happen. But see, this also shows something amazing in the entire process. See, Jesus saw what is inside of her, just as he sees what's inside of each of us. It's not just what the world sees. We live in a selfie-centered world. Think about it. We can post pictures. We can go and we can use all the filters on Instagram, Facebook, whatever we want. We can make it look beautiful, whatever picture we want the world to see and people to see. And people often on social media only show what's the best of them. Only the happiest moments. And they make sure, but they hide behind that screen. They hide everything else that they don't want the world to see. But as much as you want to hide this morning, as much as you have things in your life that you don't want Jesus to see, I'm here to tell you that you can't hide it from God himself. He still sees it. Just like the woman in our story today, we have to recognize our sin and understand that we cannot hide it from God. God sees straight through us. He sees what we are inside, who we truly are. It doesn't matter what filter or what way you try to hide it. God can still see it. And God knows your heart as well. He knows it all. And you know what the most amazing thing about the entire part is? He still loves us. No matter what we've done, no matter where we've been in life, God still loves each and every one of us. He doesn't care what mistakes we've made in our past. He still loves us. Later in the passage, we see one of the most interesting things happen. In verse 25 and 26, the woman said to him, "I know the Messiah is coming, who is called Christ. When he comes, he will explain everything to us." And for the first time within Jesus' public ministry, he does something astounding. He answers her with, in verse 26, "I, the one you're speaking to, am he." Jesus just admitted to being the Messiah of that Old Testament called one of the very first times he's done this. One of the very first times in the New Testament that he openly acknowledged that he was the Messiah that the people had been waiting for. And of all the people in the world, he chose the social outcast to reach out to. He chose the woman that was the outcast of the outcast to let them know that he is there. He knew her heart. He knew where she was in life and the challenges she faced. And he was there to set her free from all of it. You know, if we look further on through the passage, you can see her rejoicing when she finds this. She runs off to town and she tells everybody about Jesus that she just encountered. And you can see this joy pouring out from her. And the people from town started listening to her. And they came out to see Jesus himself. We often think that we have to get our lives in order before we go to Jesus. That Jesus is only interested in those people who look like good Christians. The ones that go to church every Sunday. The ones who teach Sunday school. The ones who are leaders inside their church. That's what our mindset immediately goes to. The ones who dress a certain way. Live a certain lifestyle. But Jesus tells us in Mark 2:17, it is not those who are well who need a doctor, but those who are sick. I didn't come to call the righteous, but the sinners. You know, many of us have heard the gospel, I'm sure, growing up in Sunday school of some form. You may have gone to Sunday school, maybe even just Bible school during the summer. Maybe grandma took you occasionally. You've heard that Jesus came to this earth to save each of us. You went to the cross for you and I. You know, if you went to Sunday school, you may have heard how they placed a robe on Jesus and gave him a crown of thorns, how they ridiculed and mocked him. And even though the Roman officials could not find anything to charge him with, the crowd yelled out, "Crucify him." Even though he was innocent, he was sentenced to death at the roar of the crowd. He was beaten and whipped. He was made to carry his own cross to his final place, where he was nailed to it and ultimately died up on that cross for you and I. He was buried in the tomb only to raise 3 days later, overcoming death for each of us. You may be wondering this morning, why would God do all of this? And it's the most simple of answers. Because he loves us. He loves each of us. Just like he loved that woman at the well, he loved her no matter what mistakes in society had said she had done. We see him forming in no matter what has done. And that same Jesus went to the cross for you and I. Not just that woman at the well. He went for you and I. One of the things that I always find amazing is when I'm thinking through the gospel, I always reflect back to Genesis. And the reason I go back to Genesis is we see God creating the heavens and the earth. We see him forming plants and all the animals in it. And after he had made that, God decided to make one more thing, his final thing. God said, "Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. They will rule the fish of the seas, the birds of the sky, the livestock, the whole earth, the creatures that crawl on the earth." And in verse 27, it says, "So God created man in his own image. He created him in the image of God. He created them male and female." Of all of creation, out of everything wonderful, amazing, we look out and we see constantly, nothing else in creation was created in the image of God but us. We were made special. We were made to have dominion over the rest of the world. But also we were made to commune with God. God would come down to the garden and spend that time with Adam and Eve, to interact with them, to be in fellowship with him and each other. See, we were all made for a purpose. No matter what people might tell you or where you are in the social ladder, God made you with a purpose. He had a plan for you. In Jeremiah 1:5, it says, "I chose you before I formed you in the womb. I set you apart before you were born." God chose you and he wants to fellowship with you. And no matter what mistakes you make in life, no matter what your past is, God still wants you and he still wants a relationship with you this morning. Let me tell you a little something about myself. Some of you may be thinking, "Well, you're a pastor, Tim. Of course you've got this. My church knows this. My family knows this. My brothers are here." But here's the thing. I didn't always live that life. There was a time in my life I lived the party lifestyle. By the time I was 16, I wanted nothing more to do with God himself. I ran like nobody's business. I did everything and anything I could. I went to every party I could. I drank like a fish. I womanized. I did a ton of stuff I ain't proud of. I lived a life so far away from God. And by the time I hit 22, I was tired of that life. I was tired of what God what I was missing out on. There was this emptiness that no matter how hard I tried, there was a void in my life that could never be filled. I tried it with everything. I bought anything I could. I drank. I did anything I could think of. Women didn't fill it. Nothing in life could fill that void that was there. And at 22, God finally brought me to my knees. He brought me down, and I had to surrender to Him. Has life been perfect since that moment? Absolutely not. I still get in my own way at times. But there's a peace within me that I cannot understand. That same peace that woman at the well got to experience when she had an encounter with Jesus. And that same peace that I have, that same peace that woman has, that same peace that so many others have experienced is available for you and I today. It's not something that you have to work your way up to. In John 3:16, it says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, so that everyone who would believe in him would not perish but have eternal life." I'm here to tell you, I don't care of your past. God doesn't care. He just simply loves you and he wants you to come to him. There is nothing on this earth that can separate you from that love. There is nothing that can separate you from the love that God has for you. All you have to do is put your trust in him and accept that free gift of salvation that Jesus offers on the cross. You don't have to remember all the rules. You don't have to do all of that. You allow him to come into your life and transform it. As we wrap up, let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you today and we want to thank you for the opportunity to be here to worship and to praise you. Father, we want to thank you for your Son who offers us a peace that goes beyond any understanding that we have. Father, this morning, if there's anyone here who is tired of the life that they used to be living, if there's anyone here who is tired of the things that they've been doing and they are ready for Jesus, Father, just poke at their hearts. We know that you have got the ability to break through even the hardest of hearts. If you're here this morning and you're ready to accept Jesus for the first time, we want to encourage you to raise your hand. If you're ready to commit your life to him and you're tired of the life that you've been living, I want to encourage you to raise your hand and give that opportunity. If you've decided that this morning, just follow after me in a prayer, but make sure you come talk to one of us pastors. Just repeat after me, "Dear Father, I know I'm a sinner. I'm tired of the life that I've been living, and I'm ready to commit to you. I accept that free gift of salvation that is brought to us by Jesus on the cross. And Father, I just surrender everything I have to you. Guide me and help me." We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. We're going to sing that last song, "I Am Set Free," on the back there. I'm reminded of Paul writing to the Thessalonians. He said, "The gospel did not come to you in word only, but in power and the Holy Spirit and much assurance." Because the gospel transforms us. The truth of Jesus Christ will change you. And so if you prayed that prayer, or if you've been following him for some time, if you have been in the church for any length of time, just remember, the gospel is not mere words. It's powerful, and it will transform your life. Let's sing together, "I Am Set Free."
You broke my chains of sin and shame, and you cover me with grace. You mend my life with your holy fire, and you cover me with grace. You are the hand that reaches out to say, "I am set free, oh, oh, oh. I am set free, oh, 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 it is for freedom that I am set free."
Let this be a song of thanks to those who are set free.
You broke chains of sin and shame, and you cover me with grace. You mend my life with your holy fire, and you cover me with grace. You are the hand that reaches out to save. I am set free.
Here is the astonishing good news we need to hear, that Jesus prays for you. In his last moments with his disciples, he said a prayer. And it was a prayer of unity and inclusion. And he prayed that his disciples would be the witnesses to the world. And he prayed for them, but he also prayed for each and every person that would hear the word through them. And it's not just the word through them. It's the way they love one another. It's the actions that they have for one another. So Jesus prays for you, for this community in which we find ourselves, and the surrounding communities. Whether your cup is empty or full, whether your community is in crisis or experiencing joy, whatever your future, be it foggy or clear, Jesus loves you deeply, and your life is bound to God, who loved you before the foundations of this very world. On the eve of his death, Jesus entrusted your life and the church's life and its entire future to his Father. What glorious good news that the future rests in the care of our triune God, and that we, the church, united, are set free to make God known to the world. And that's our mission, each and every day. Let us pray. Dear God, we thank you for bringing us together in one place to worship you today. We ask that you help us to say consistently in your word each day, that we might abide in you and you in us. Please help us not to get swept away in the things of this world. And it's so easy for that to happen. Help us to keep our minds focused on you, and may we strive to do your will. Thank you, Lord God, for your compassion and kindness towards us. In your precious name, amen. Hear this blessing. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord's face shine down upon you with grace and keep you in his peace. Go in peace this day. And on your way out, there's an offering jar there if you so feel inclined. May God be with you today and each day going forward.
Thank you for joining us today from Mount Carroll Church of God Radio Ministries with Pastor Tim Yoder. We meet locally every Sunday morning at 9 a.m. for Sunday school and 10 a.m. for service. If this program has been a blessing to you, we would love to hear from you. We can be reached at mcchurchofgod.org or find us on Facebook at Mount Carroll Church of God, where you may also find a copy of today's broadcast. We look forward to hearing from you. Until next time, God bless. Have a great week.